So how many Hallmark Christmas movies fans do we have out here? Yep, a lot of women. Oh, a couple of guys. Good for you. I have a confession to make. I'm just not a fan. I just think they're cheesy. I don't find them realistic. And usually, as a theater major, I find the writing and the acting to just be painful. I'm sorry if you're a fan. Please watch them all you want and enjoy. Just don't ask me to come join you, okay? Well, the other night, I don't know, apparently I was in a cheesy mood, and I randomly found one on Netflix to watch. Was it predictable? Yep. Was it cheesy? Oh, my goodness. Yeah. But let me tell you what else it was. It was a pretty good representation of what our study book for this series would call an altogether love. Now, the plot of this movie was pretty standard. City girl has professional crisis that causes her to reevaluate her life. She goes to a small town to escape, and there girl meets boy. And boy's a jerk, but he's handsome. So boy and girl spar a little bit, and sparring becomes flirting, and girl discovers her new life goals. Well, boy and girl then face some insurmountable challenge, and girl goes back to the city. Boy becomes less of a jerk in his longing for her to come back. Girl finds out her life has no purpose in the big city anymore and goes back to the small town. She rediscovers the boy, and they live happily ever after. Cheesy. But here's the thing. Boy and girl loved each other when he was still a jerk, and she was still a type A, bossy, manipulative city girl. The love was there, even with their faults. And that love brought about some big changes in both of them. Love enabled him to release the anger and the fears that were making him a jerk. And love gave her the strength to leave her big city career and her type A personality that went with it behind, so that she could become more compassionate and caring. But those changes came with risk, too. There was no guarantee for her that this new life path that she had chosen would work out. She was perhaps walking away from a very lucrative career and a life in the city that she would miss. And he had no guarantee that his worst fears of abandonment wouldn't come true. Here's the thing. Absolute love, total, complete love, is always risky and always produces transformation. Real love loves us for exactly who and what we are, faults and all. But love isn't safe, and love doesn't leave us where it found us. Too many times, I think we are looking for love that looks like a fairy tale. Love that will take our ordinary lives with all of the struggles and all of the pain and all of our faults and turn us into princes or princesses that never will have a care in the world again, and we will be perfect inside and out. But that just isn't true, absolute love. Because love isn't a fairy tale. Love is real. And I think too often we settle for an almost love instead of an absolute love. Now, I'm not talking just about romantic relationships here. This love can apply to any relationship, especially those based in our call as Christians to love God and love our neighbors as ourselves. And of course, as Christians, we look to Jesus as the model for perfect love, absolute love. And Jesus didn't love halfway. Jesus' love for others did not show partiality, nor did it come with preconditions or restrictions. Jesus loved completely. Let's think about our 3 points from our cheesy Christmas movie. We can be loved even though we are broken and faulty. Love is risky, and love is transformative. The first one, We can be loved when we're broken and faulty. Just think about all of those people that we see Jesus show love to. He loved all the people who were all kinds of messed up. Even his disciples were a ragtag bunch of misfits. Jesus loved Judas. Even with all of Judas's misunderstandings about who the Messiah should be, in spite of the fact that Judas would betray him, and even with Judas's greed, Jesus still loved him. Jesus loved hot-headed, impetuous Peter. Jesus loved Thomas the skeptic and John the daydreamer. But Jesus also loved the lepers, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, the Samaritans, the adulterers. Jesus loves even you and even me. We are loved for exactly who and what we are today. Even those parts of us that we're ashamed of, the parts of us that we try to hide, the parts that we try to pretend don't exist. Jesus sees those shadows within us and loves us for who we truly are. We are the ones who think we won't be loved if we show our true selves. If we reveal those things that we have spent years trying to hide. But absolute love sees the total of what makes you, you, and cherishes all that it sees. We don't need to try to hide anything of ourselves from God. Number one, because it's pointless. God sees us for who we are. Also because God loves us completely for exactly who we are. And I think our reading from John speaks to that exact thing. Now, I'm sure you all could recite that first verse from memory. John 3:16 is just ingrained in us. But I think the rest of this passage is even more powerful. Yeah, God loves the world, and God sent Jesus to save those who believe so that we can have life eternal. But wait, it gets better. The next verse is my favorite. It says, Jesus came to save, not to condemn the world. Not to condemn. John says that those who don't believe are already condemned, not because of any action from God, for God loves even those who don't believe. Rather, those who don't believe are already condemned because we are just pretty darn good at condemning ourselves. And we are very good at condemning others. But that's not what Jesus was about. That's not what absolute love is about. John goes on to talk about loving darkness rather than light. Friends, when we try to hide ourselves from one another and from God, we are hiding in the darkness rather than stepping out into the light of God's love. Because in the light, that's where our faults and our failures might be seen. But it's also where we are truly and completely loved. Our shame tries to drive us away from true love into the shadows of fear and isolation. You know, Mary could have succumbed to that fear. When Gabriel came to her, a young, poor, uneducated, unmarried girl, in a time where all of her life decisions were to be made by her father and then later on by her husband, she could have said, I'll have to ask my dad if this is all okay. She could have said, do you know that they stone unwed mothers around here? She could have said, I can't be the mother of the Savior. I can't afford to raise a child. I'm just a kid myself. Or, have you talked to Joseph about any of this? Mary had every reason in the world to be insecure, unsure, and downright afraid. When I think about all that this request asked of her, I would not blame her if she had run and hid from the angel. But let's think about the bravery that Mary shows us in this moment. Because it is immense. This young girl, probably in the neighborhood of 13 years old or so, where does she get this courage and this strength? Let's just look at this situation a bit. Scriptures tell us that Mary was a virgin engaged to be married. Now, from what we know of the culture of the time, that tells us that Mary had not yet reached the age of menstruation. Because the wedding would take place as soon as she was able to bear a child. She's just a kid. And yet, when an angel of God stands before her and tells her that she is going to conceive a child and bear a son, she has the audacity to interrupt him. And what does she ask? This child, this girl who really has no voice of her own in her society, has the courage to say to the angel, "Wait a minute, how exactly is this supposed to happen?" She doesn't say, no, you've got to be kidding me. You've got the wrong girl. Nope. All she says is, how is this possible? The angel finishes his message and Mary doesn't hesitate. She simply says, "I am God's servant. I am in." She didn't stop to question her worth. She didn't run away from this awesome responsibility. She didn't let her age, her status, or anything else keep her from this task. Her love of God and her assurance of God's love for her gave her the courage to face this. But friends, this calling did not come without risk. Mary faced incredible risk by saying yes. Like I said, she could have been stoned to death just for being unmarried and pregnant. She could have died giving birth. Think about this. This is not the age of immense medical care where you can go to your birthing suite and have nurses and doctors waiting for you. Mortality rate during childbirth was exceedingly high at the time. And then after Jesus was born and Herod ordered all of the newborn boys to be killed, she had to flee to Egypt. And the risks didn't end there for her. Love is risky. But love is also transformative, remember. Mary's life was forever changed by saying yes to God. Mary was blessed to raise the Messiah, to see Jesus through all the years of his life, to know him perhaps better than anyone else ever did. And she was there to see her son resurrected from the dead, to see with her own eyes the evidence of his divinity, to see all of the prophecies from throughout the years fulfilled in her son. We are a people made to love and to be loved, not partially, not almost, but completely, thoroughly, altogether, absolutely loved. So as we go through this season, the season that proclaims love at its core, let us remember that love doesn't come wrapped in a package with a pretty bow. Love is not earned or deserved. Love does not come without risk, and love changes all that it touches. As we strive to be a people of love, we need to examine ourselves to see if we are really offering almost love or altogether love. Are we loving without preconditions? Are we loving without judgment? Are we loving in spite of certain things, or does our love cover and look beyond all of those things? And what are we risking by showing our love? If the love we offer is safe and risk-free, are we really offering an altogether love? Love calls for sacrifice, as Jesus so clearly shows us time and time again. Love calls for risk. Is our love free to take risks? And does our love cause transformation in our hearts and minds? Because true love, love that is holy in nature, cannot help but change the giver and the receiver of the love. If our love hasn't brought about any transformation within us, have we really loved completely as God would have us love? We are called to be people of an altogether love, and so we must examine how we show love to see if we are really truly living into that call or if we're holding back. God calls us to be all in with his acts of love in this world, in Advent, through Christmas, and all year long. Let it be with us according to God's word. Amen.